You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Carolyn Vandeweel.
And I'm Ryan Stacey. This is the Daily Local News for Thursday, August 11th, 2016.
And again, I understood from very young that I was different, but I don't know, I've always had this hunger within myself to fit in with the mainstream.
We hear from local autism expert Adria Nassim later in the show in another edition of Big Talk with Michael Glab.
Also coming up in the next half hour, our weekly public opinion feature, Voices in the Street, asks about your favorite Olympic sports. But first, these local headlines.
Regular visitors to Seminary Park voiced dissent this afternoon following Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton's announcement that a police surveillance camera would be installed there. Hamilton announced yesterday that cameras would be installed at Seminary Park, People's Park, and along the Beeline Trail. Hamilton says the goal is preventing crime and arresting offenders. Seminary Park has a large group of regular patrons, many of whom visit there almost every day, and some of whom say they occasionally sleep there. This afternoon, there were about 40 people in the park. One man who declined to give his name said he visits the park every day, and he sees no need for video surveillance.
I think it's a bunch of crap because, I mean, come on, man, most of the people down here is homeless. This is their only damn enjoyment they got. And whether it's crime, what's going on, to most of these people, this is their damn home. Nobody wants their home with a camera in it. This is these people's life, man. You know, I mean, why in the hell are they going to put cameras here to interrupt what most of these people consider is their home, their salvation? This is where they come to get their little relaxation. They put a damn camera down here, they ain't going to do them a cause problem. They were worrying about the wrong thing.
Others at the park this afternoon said that police already interact regularly with visitors there, and they already feel surveilled. One man said, quote, "They know everything here already. Everyone's on paperwork," unquote. Another visitor named Samuel said he doubted the mayor's justification for installing the cameras.
No, it's not criminal activity that they're trying to monitor. It's because they want to get into a circle that they can't get into because, honestly, people don't like the police because, I mean, it's a lot of stuff that's going on with the police, you know, racial profiling. You know, they look at all of us the same. They look at all of us as bad guys or as troublemakers or stuff like that, and that's not the case, you know. And that's what they're taught. I don't blame them because in academy and stuff like that, they teach you. They teach you it's a us versus them type of scenario. And they look at that and they look at people that way and they stereotype people that way of all colors, no matter where you are.
The new surveillance cameras are part of a larger effort by the Hamilton administration that the mayor says could make people feel safer downtown. Hamilton has also called for an enhanced police presence downtown, and he has instructed police to enforce laws against aggressive panhandling. Yesterday, the mayor also announced the Community Justice and Mediation Center will help the city by forming a committee that will make recommendations about downtown safety and civility. The process will involve affected businesses, art venues, the library, patrons of downtown, people experiencing homelessness, law enforcement, quote, individuals whose behavior is a source of stress, and more. The city will also form a safety, civility, and justice task force to study the results of future changes related to downtown safety and civility.
Monroe County Commissioner Patrick Stoffers has warned the county council that they will likely need to invest in professional guidance for the county treasurer and auditor's offices. In a meeting Tuesday, Stoffers said the state of Indiana's audit of the two offices shows a need for reorganization.
The State Board of Accounts has wrapped up their audit of 2014, and we're looking at the preliminary stuff. There's not an exit conference scheduled yet. They're still working on 2015. We'd like you to take a serious look at reorganizing those offices, in fact, relative to where those employees in those offices are actually budgeted out of. I think you're going to get a good opportunity to do that. And lastly, and this one is kind of what I call holy smokes, it's clear to my colleagues and I is we're going to need to secure some help in those offices in early 2017, based on the conversations I had. And we're wondering if this isn't the time to think about making the auditor and treasurer signatories and getting some professional help into those offices, at least for some period of time.
Stauffer said the exit conference for the 2014 audit will be scheduled in the next few weeks and will clarify just what kind of professional help is needed. Stauffer's act, the audit results will eventually be published as public record. Council member Marty Hawk said some council members were already considering the idea. Stauffer said he anticipates the county commissioners will be requesting funding from the council on this issue. Stauffer said county commissioners are also suggesting the council consider pulling its contribution to judges' salaries.
We're going to get at least one new judge in 2017. It's probably time we did away with the $5,000 that the council pays towards their salary. State of Indiana pays, what, $125,000, I think, currently. And I think that salary is actually going to go up in 2017. And you should think about it for the new judge. And quite frankly, it's likely there'll be several new judges over the next couple election cycles. It's something we think you should think about eliminating.
In other business, the council approved $2 million in bonds to fund a variety of projects requested by county administrators, from financial software to an SUV for the sheriff's canine unit.
Multiple Indiana business and civic leaders plan to introduce a new initiative that will create a more expansive pre-K program in a campaign that starts tomorrow. A press release states that the All In for Pre-K campaign aims to, quote, expand quality pre-K in the 2017 legislative session so more low-income students across Indiana can benefit, unquote. The CEO of Eli Lilly Company, John Lechleiter, CEO of United Way of Central Indiana, Ann Mertlow, are among the community advocates fighting for this issue. This call for action follows the implementation of the On My Way Pre-K program, a state-funded program that Governor Mike Pence signed into law in 2014. The On My Way Pre-K program allows for many low-income children to receive scholarships to attend pre-K in its five pilot counties. The new All In for Pre-K campaign hopes to expand this effort so that children in counties all across Indiana can attend pre-K. The president and CEO of Early Learning Indiana, Ted Maple, says that they are using research and community polls to help drive their campaign.
So there are a couple of things that we really are driven by, and one is the research that says quality pre-K makes a big difference for children. It can prepare them for school and put them on the path to a more successful life. And secondly, we see that the people of Indiana are strongly supportive of pre-K. We recently conducted a statewide poll of voters, and 7 in 10 voters felt strongly that we need expanded access and more state funding so children can attend quality pre-K and get prepared for school.
The All In for Pre-K campaign tabled outside of Wonder Lab here in Bloomington yesterday to listen to parents' experiences with pre-K locally. The All In for Pre-K campaign launches Friday.
The Monroe County Traffic Safety Partnership has announced it will participate in the nationwide 2016 Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign, which starts tomorrow. The campaign lasts until September 5th. Monroe County officers will join state and local law enforcement to conduct high-visibility patrols to discourage drivers from driving under the influence. Sergeant Dana Cole of the Bloomington Police Department says the campaign involves high-visibility patrols where as many officers as possible are on the roadways, monitoring areas where there is a high probability of impaired drivers.
We try to get as many officers in one area as we can so that people that are out and about will see officers time and time again. Ultimately, we hope that by officers being out on the road, the visibility and the media coverage that comes with this, that people will not drink and drive, that they will get friends or take a taxi, and that we are saving lives. If we can prevent someone from getting into a car and drinking and driving, we may be preventing an accident, we may be saving a life. That's our ultimate goal.
According to Cole, there were more than 4,800 alcohol-impaired collisions in Indiana in 2015, resulting in 92 fatalities. This is a 26.5% decrease compared to collision counts from 2014 and a 9% drop in fatalities. Cole says this decrease is promising, but there is still more that can be done. The campaign is just one of many ways law enforcement agencies are trying to bring down the number of drunken drivers.
We are seeing that the extra enforcement, as well as all the media coverage that goes on with these blitzes, is really making an impact in helping people to make that necessary decision that they need to find alternative ways to get home if they choose to go out and have alcohol.
The Monroe County TSP includes officers from the Monroe County Sheriff's Department, the Bloomington Police Department, and the Ellettsville Police Department. The Drive Sober or Get Pulled Over campaign is federally funded. Indiana law enforcement agencies have been actively involved for more than 20 years. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Carolyn Vandeweel.
And I'm Ryan Stacy. Adria Nassim and her constant companion Lou, her service dog, might be as familiar to many Bloomington residents as Mayor Hamilton or IU basketball coach Tom Crean. Nassim is the town's go-to expert on the autism spectrum, something she knows about intimately. She was a premature baby, and early on was found to have the classic social interaction, learning, and spatial recognition difficulties that define the disorder. In college, she dedicated herself to learning everything she could about autism. Today, she helps parents and children understand what autism is all about. She gives talks to businesses and organizations on how to embrace autistic workers and customers. Her column on living with autism appears every Tuesday in the Herald Times. She joins Michael Glab this week on Big Talk.
Hi, this is Big Talk with Big Mike, Michael Glab. Today our guest is Adria Nassim. Adria is Bloomington's expert on the autism spectrum. Adria, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you, Mike, and thank you for having me.
You speak to groups, to classes, to individuals about people who are on the autism spectrum, what the autism spectrum is.
In college, it was originally for until midway through sophomore year was an education major. But I really started studying it early in college, just out of my own interest, and then was diagnosed, actually, was diagnosed actually as a child with something called nonverbal learning disability at age 5, which impacts my ability to understand abstract reasoning and navigational concepts. An autism spectrum diagnosis came around in my late teens as it became more apparent that I was struggling socially, mm-hmm. and my social deficits began to mirror more of what was called Asperger's syndrome,
mm-hmm.
and now is just lumped in with autism spectrum disorder. And so I started to read about it, and I thought, you know, it would be I think I could help a lot of people and a lot of students who want to work with students with special needs if I can get up there and tell my story of what it's actually like to live as an individual on the autism spectrum. Because I think in many cases, individuals who are looking to study special education or related fields and work with children with disabilities, you often hear from providers in the field or parents of children with disabilities, but you don't often hear from the child, or in my case, the adult child themselves. And children with learning disability do tend to struggle socially, but with my type of learning disability, it is more apparent with their difficulty with abstract reasoning, mathematical concepts, that sort of thing, motor planning. That's not the most pronounced difficulty as far as social deficit, but by the time, as I said, that I reached adolescence, as it became more apparent that I still wasn't fitting in socially, still had very little interest, let alone understanding of things like romantic love, was struggling to make and maintain friendships still at age 18, 19, on into college.
I met you, I believe, in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
We were at the bookstore, and you walked in with Lucy, mm-hmm. Lou, who, by the way, is with us today.
Yes, she is.
Lou is a service dog who is always with Adria.
Yes, nearly always, yes.
And actually, you trained her.
I did, yes.
When I met you, I didn't know what the issue was or why you had a service dog.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed you were blind. How does Lou help you?
Lou is trained in scent tracking to find the way home for difficulties with visual spatial navigation. She's trained to find the way home when I get lost or disoriented. If you say a certain word, which we will not say in here because she gets very excited.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows that her treat or her ball is coming.
Ooh.
So it's like Christmas when you say it.
So how often do you have a difficult, like getting lost, right, is what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Are you always lost?
No.
Or are you occasionally lost?
Occasionally. She's a very good social icebreaker for forming relationships and communication with others, which actually is one of the very often a reason why parents will look into getting a service dog for an individual with autism, because they may be socially isolated, but having a dog that is medically well trained and medically allowed to accompany them, it takes the pressure off socially. And generally, the American public likes dogs. And so when you have a kid, well, not just with autism, with any disability even, who is in some ways seen as different, seen as odd, who is accompanied by a well-trained dog, people tend to say, oh, hi, can I pet your dog?
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a bridge between
mm-hmm.
People with and without disabilities. And you wouldn't believe how my social circle has expanded. Everybody knows Lou. I mean, half the time they don't even know my name, but they know Lou.
You must have done work to get more social.
Yeah, I did.
Like what?
It was a lot of social skills therapy.
Really?
Through a program called the College Internship Program.
Huh.
There is a campus here in Bloomington, which is the one that I was enrolled in. Bloomington, the college internship program has campuses all over America, and we offer social skills training as part of our services.
Can you give me an example of what a bit of social skills training would be like?
Yeah, we offer group and individual sessions, things like learning how to fake eye contact. They train you to look in the person's general direction and pick a spot on their face, and it looks like you're looking them in the eye. And before that, I didn't, you know, ABA, when I was a kid, applied behavioral analysis therapies, like we have Little Star Center, we have Reach High Consulting and Therapy, we have Crystal's Behavioral Solutions, multiple different service providers here in Bloomington that provide applied behavioral analysis therapy to children and, I suppose, adolescents on the spectrum. But when I was a kid, that didn't exist.
Right.
So it was just a lot of parental modeling and sibling modeling. I have a younger sister, Janelle, who is now 28, who was 2.5 years younger. But it was a lot of modeling and a lot of consistent expectation with consistent consequence. Otherwise, no, we had no therapy.
As a very young kid, did you have a sense, did you feel you were missing something yourself? Or did that have to be told you?
I knew that I was different.
Okay.
When I was young, my mom and dad did a very good job of just accepting the fact that they had brought into the picture, if you will, a child with differences.
Mm-hmm.
And just accepted it and said, this is Adria. She's going to be a little different, but God gave us a beautiful child, and we'll do whatever we can to give her a beautiful life. But and also, it wasn't just eye contact. It was, gosh, watching things like Modern Family and The Big Bang Theory with the sound off so we could recognize the nonverbal body language.
So these are lessons that not only do you have to learn, but you have to keep reminding yourself of.
Yeah.
And again, it's a matter of work.
It is.
And discipline.
It is.
And you're still at it, would I assume?
I am. I will watch TV now. I'll watch TV and try to figure out the relationships between the characters.
Or really?
Even go down the street and I'll watch people and I'll be like, how much... In my head, I'll be thinking to myself, how much do you want to bet they're friends? And then I'll look further down the street. Nope, he's her boyfriend. And $5, he's about to break up with her. And maybe I'm not right. But, I mean, I'm always challenging myself because I really do want to be better. And, again, I understood from very young that I was different. But, I don't know, I've always had this hunger within myself to very much want to fit in with the mainstream.
Really?
Oh, yes. In every sense of the word.
So do you?
I believe so now, yes.
This is Lou, everybody. Hey, Lou. Can you say hi? Yeah. What's up? Say hi. 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 Good girl.
That was Adria Nassim and her dog Lou on today's episode of Big Talk with WFHB correspondent Michael Glab. You can hear all our episodes of Big Talk online at wfhb.org.
Support for WFHB comes from Monster Digital Marketing, offering digital marketing solutions for small businesses. Monster Digital Marketing websites are built for search engine optimization with both the desktop and the mobile device user in mind. Located at monsterdigitalmarketing.com or on the phone at 317-567-1197.
Up next is our weekly public opinion segment, Voices in the Street.
Welcome to Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion feature. Voices in the Street provides an opportunity for people in our community to share their opinions and perspectives on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents. This week on Voices in the Street, drama down in Rio, catching Olympic fever. The 2016 Summer Olympics are underway in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Despite controversies like doping and the Zika virus, enthusiasm for the Games is always palpable. With folks like Simone Biles, Katie Ledecky, and IU's very own Lily King becoming household names, Voices in the Street's intrepid, roving reporter MJ asks your friends and neighbors what Olympic event they look forward to most.
I look forward to basketball because it's one of the best games, in my opinion. And Team USA is going to win. They've been smashing everyone till now by a huge margin. So yeah, it's fun.
The gymnastics, I haven't had as much time to pay attention as I normally do, but usually the gymnastics, only because the cameras are able to get up close enough so that you can see the people. Some of the running races, you just don't get close enough to the people to really see what's going on in their heads. I mean, you can see their bodies, of course, but it's nice if you can get close enough to see what they're thinking and what they're struggling with.
Well, I like to watch track and field because I participated in that back years ago. So,
women's rugby sevens.
To me, the fencing. Because yesterday, I'm from Korea, and Korean man got medal, and it's the first medal from like that type of fencing game.
Yes, there is in my country. Mm-hmm. His name is Ning Zetao. He's very handsome.
Because my favorite athlete is a swimmer in China, is a Chinese. So that's the reason why I like to watch a swimming program.
I think swimming is my favorite game because I used to be a swimmer. So I mostly will watch some swimming games. And my biggest, I think Michael Phelps is my favorite.
I'd go for the 100 meter sprint. Usain Bolt should take it this time, I guess, again.
Oh, I think swimming is very cool.
I'm actually looking most forward to the basketball games. So, and that's the only thing I watch, so.
Ping pong. I'm Chinese, so.
Probably gymnastics or swimming?
It's difficult because I don't have a TV, so I can't actually watch them. I typically like the gymnastics, though. Pretty much all of the gymnastics are probably my favorite, but I don't know, a lot of them are nice.
This has been Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion segment, featuring candid commentary from your friends and neighbors on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents. Voices in the Street is a volunteer-powered production of our News and Public Affairs Department here on WFHB 91.3 and 98.1 FM, community radio for South Central Indiana.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News here on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Taylor Haggerty, Casey Ross, and Joe Crawford, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Michael Glab.
Voices in the Street was produced by Kelly Worley. Our engineer today is Chris Martin. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, this is Ryan Stacey.
And I'm Carolyn Vanderweel. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, independent daily news program.
Stay tuned for Blooming Out, Indiana's only LGBTQI public affairs show, coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.